This afternoon, I'd ask you to turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115 and verses 12 to 15. Psalm 115 from verse 12. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I know that it is Christmas Day, but it is also the last Sunday in 2016. And it was that thought which the Lord laid uppermost on my mind as we come to worship this afternoon. Psalm 115 is not ascribed to any particular author, although perhaps, as it is not ascribed, we can assume that it is a psalm of David. But there is no heading to tell us that it was written at a specific occasion, as we find some of the other psalms of David. We read of other psalms that they were written at a particular juncture in David's life. A psalm written at a time when he was facing persecution. For example, Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And there is no indication that it is written to a particular people. Sometimes the psalms are written to a particular musician or to a particular group. But here we have no such indication. And it is therefore very clearly a psalm written for the Lord's people through all ages. There is no limit upon this psalm other than to say that it is a psalm expressing trust in the Lord, and it is only a psalm that can really be truly taken upon the lips of those who are God's children. It is said that this psalm was one of those that was sung at the time of the Passover. And it is a little thought that this possibly could be the psalm that Jesus and his disciples sang after the institution of the Lord's Supper, just before they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we have a psalm which we can appropriate as the Lord's people today, as we draw near to the end of the year 2016. And as we consider this psalm, I want to consider it under the heading, God will bless. God will bless. And the first thing that I want to notice is that the Lord has remembered us. At the beginning of verse 12, we have these words, the Lord hath been mindful of us. And as we look back through this past year of 2016, we can truly acknowledge that God's care has been over us. And we can look back and we say that Jehovah has indeed remembered us. And as we look back individually, we can look back on this year of 2016 and we can say the Lord has been mindful of us. And yes, we can say there have been times when our faith has been tested. There have been times when we have truly been cast upon the Lord, not knowing how we can go forward or what we can do next. And yet we can say that in our affliction, in our times of trial and testing, the Lord has remembered us and been with us. Some of you this year have experienced great affliction in body. You have had operations and treatment. Others of us may have had times of illness, times of affliction, times of disappointment. And through all of these things, which may have perplexed us and troubled us at the time, we can yet say that the Lord has remembered us in these times of difficulty and trial. But we can also look back individually and we can say the Lord has been mindful of us in that he has blessed us. He has favored us with his presence. He has continued to supply spiritual life to us. He has continued to uphold us in the faith, and that by God's grace we have not fallen into grievous sin, and that the Lord has held us up and preserved us. He has truly been our help and our shield. As we look back as individual families, sometimes we have collectively been in a time of trial and difficulty through this year of 2016. And yet we can say that in our families, the Lord has remembered us. The Lord has had compassion upon us. The Lord has looked upon us and he has heard our prayers. And he has been mindful of us as families through times of joy and times of sorrow. As a church and as a congregation, we can also look back at 2016 and say, the Lord hath been mindful of us. I could never have imagined all that has taken place in this church when I preached on the first Sunday of this year. But God has been mindful of us, and he has been gracious to us. He has provided additions to church membership by baptism and by transfer. He has increased the congregation, and he has blessed us in so many ways. And we are so thankful to the Lord that he has brought some of you in this year to our church. And we are very thankful to him, and we would seek to give him all the glory for his great goodness toward us. And yet as a church, we have also known loss and bereavement. At times in past years, we have been tempted to think that the Lord had forgotten us. But surely we can say as we look back in 2016 that the Lord has not forgotten us, but the Lord has been gracious to us and he has remembered us for good. That was the great prayer of Nehemiah as he engaged in the work of the Lord. So often his prayer was, remember me, O Lord, for good. And we can say, praise be to God that he has remembered us for good here in this church. But as we look back, the Lord hath been mindful of us. What he has done for us in the past, as a church and congregation, as families and as individuals, gives us confidence for the future. That God has been kind and gracious, that he has opened his hand of blessing upon us, that he has maintained us, and more than maintained us, but granted us a godly increase. And as we look at these things, as we look back through this year, we should take courage for 2017. We should take heart that as God has been mindful of us in 2016, he will bless us in 2017. And here in this 12th verse, we have a threefold assurance of blessing. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. If we take the house of Israel, here is referred to the Lord's people. And the house of Aaron, here we have the Lord's servants. You will remember that when Israel had left Egypt and the Exodus was underway, God was going to sanctify the firstborn to him and separate them to himself. But instead of the firstborn, he sanctified to himself the tribe of Levi. And he took them and he separated them from the other tribes of Israel. And they were the ones who were going to serve him in the tabernacle and then the temple. And there was that division of labor between the three sons of Levi. And God promises that he will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the Lord's people. He will bless the individuals and the families that comprise the church of God. Those who would say that they love the Lord and serve him. He will bless the house of Israel. But notice also that he will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those that he has sanctified and set apart for his particular service. The people of God in general, and the servants of the Lord, those whom he has chosen, equipped and sent forth to preach the word of God, and their families. And God promises to bless these branches of his church. In the first part it says he will bless, and then our translators have added the word us. But that's not necessarily a word that they needed to put in. God will bless. That is his mindset towards his people. He will favor them with his presence. He will uphold them in the midst of difficulty and trial. He will give them heavenly spiritual gifts. He will bless them with wisdom and grace and strength and love and patience and endurance. He will fully equip them for the work of his church. And as we look back in 2016 and we thank God for what he has done for us, we should look forward with confidence that he will provide what we need in 2017. And as we ask him, he is able to open the windows of heaven and pour down a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And as we thank him for past blessings, we should not rest content with the past blessings that we have received, but we should plead with him for blessings in the future. And indeed, we should be bold in our prayers, and we should plead that he would double the blessing in the coming year. That as we've experienced his goodness in 2016, we pray that we may receive double of the Lord's hand for 2017. He will bless. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord. Do you have a right reverence and respect for God? Do you tremble at his word? Do you have a respect for his day, for his being, for his ability, for his person, and for his word? Then you fear the Lord, and he will bless all that fear the Lord, both small and great. How wonderful. Perhaps you have a young, new faith in God, and you feel that you've only just begun in the Christian way, and your faith is small, and you've not yet dared to tell anyone that you're a Christian. And you've certainly not gone forward to ask for baptism. And you have a small yet living faith and trust in God. You may be small in your own eyes, a little one in Zion, not daring to put yourself forward, certainly not wishing to be in my shoes or in the shoes of those who preach the gospel. But God says he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And even if your faith is small, and you are timid, and you are limping along, as it were, in the Christian life, God promises to bless you if you fear him. And I love the way that God's Spirit has put the word small before great. Because if you are small in the Lord's house, you need his blessing. And you need his blessing to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And you need his blessing that your faith would grow stronger and sturdier and greater. How wonderful that from the least to the greatest, in whatever way we carve that up, God will bless those who fear him. God will bless those that fear him, both small and great. Those of us with greater responsibilities in the church certainly need his blessing. Those of us who preach the word, we need the Lord's blessing constantly to have the health and the strength to preach the word. We need God's grace and patience to preach the word in season and out of season. When we get up in the pulpit, we don't always feel in great shape to preach the word of God. And we must rely on the Lord to help us every time we stand up to declare God's truth. And we need God's blessing to remain faithful to his word. So many people are diverted in their Christian life, and the greater they may seem to be in the Christian church, it seems the greater they fall. How we need to be kept faithful to God's word, and how we need to be kept faithful to God. We need to be kept faithful in our family lives and in our individual lives. How we need the blessing of God to overcome the wiles and the temptations of the devil. How we need God to overcome the weakness and the frailty and the sinfulness of our flesh. But God promises that he will bless. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Fourfold repetition of those words. He will bless. That is his desire. That is what he wants for his church and for his people. And that is what he wants for Christians, young and old, inexperienced and experienced. God's desire is to bless you, to pour upon you his favor, his strength, his wisdom, and his mercy. God will bless. And then we come to a further promise in verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more. What a wonderful blessing that we have. And in these days of small things, we perhaps tremble to take hold of this promise and to believe that God can make it true. But he can. The Lord shall increase you more and more. The increase that we want most of all is a spiritual increase. We want to increase in holiness, in faith, in love, in hope, in kindness, in gentleness, in goodness. And we desire that the Lord will fulfill his word for us, both small and great, that the Lord would increase those Christian graces within us more and more. And we pray that he would increase our Christ-likeness, that we may be conformed more and more unto Jesus Christ. The Lord shall increase you more and more. But that can be a painful process. We think of those words in John 15, verse 1. I am the vine, said Jesus. I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The Lord shall increase you more and more. He shall cause you to bear more and more fruit. But the process of bearing more fruit often requires pruning and cleansing. It never fails to surprise me how the more branches I cut off the nut trees every autumn, the more strongly it grows back in the spring and the summer. And the more you prune certain trees, the better and the bigger the fruit they produce. And whilst there is this wonderful promise, the Lord shall increase you more and more, we must understand that this is not merely a process of delight and ease and very easy. It can be a difficult, painful process as the Lord chops away at those things in our lives that are displeasing to Him. As the Lord deals with bad habits and bad thoughts and bad customs in our lives. He prunes and He chops and it's painful. And simply sometimes the Lord cuts off good things in our lives. Just as a person who prunes a tree may cut off some good branches as well as some bad branches. But that is the way that the Lord increases us more and more. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. We need to lay hold on that, don't we? We long for numerical increase, that God would bless us with spiritual children. That the Lord would bless our children, our natural children, with spiritual life. And we must continually pray to the Lord, because there is no child amongst us that is too hard for God to overcome their resistance to the gospel. But we long for spiritual children. We believe the Apostle John was never married and never had natural children. But he could write, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth." And every minister and every Sunday school teacher and everybody who's involved in spreading the word of God longs that they might have spiritual children. That those children in their Sunday school class and in their congregation and in the house next door might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through their labours, that they may therefore become their spiritual children. But there is a promise not only of blessing, but of increase. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. We need to believe it, don't we? In these days of small things, we need to take God at His word. And remember that this is a psalm that is not limited to a particular event or to a particular people or to a particular situation. But it is a psalm for God's people down through the ages. And here we have that promise that God will build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I say this especially to those of you who teach God's word. We shall be very surprised when we get to heaven and we learn of all the unknown ways in which God used our preaching and our teaching and our instruction. I never forget the account of the minister which appeared in Cheering Words some years ago. A man, evidently an itinerant minister. And he preached for a number of years and he died and he never knew if there was anyone who was converted under his ministry. But his widow was in hospital some while later. And she was listening to the girl and her mother talking next door. And the girl was telling her mother how she came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person she described and the sermon he preached and the place he preached it. And the woman, the widow of the minister, realized that it was her late husband who had evidently been used of God to bring that girl to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Day will declare it. But God's word will never be found to be untrue. Sometimes we act and think as though the word of God says, "The Lord shall decrease you more and more, you and your children." But brothers and sisters, it says increase and increase you more and more. And shouldn't this embolden us to pray for greater and greater blessings. That as I've suggested, that we pray that the blessing that we experienced in 2016, that we pray for double the blessing in 2017. And we go on as faith enables us to pray that the Lord would be true to this word, that the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. God is willing to bless. God is willing and shall increase. And thirdly, God is able to bless. Verse 15, ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Much of the first part of this psalm is concerned with deriding the idols of the nations around Israel. The nations around Israel and some of the Israelites were led into idolatry. But this psalm clearly and perfectly sets forth the futility of these idols, the works of men's hands. These idols had mouths, but they couldn't speak. They had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. They had noses, but they couldn't smell. They had hands, but they couldn't use them. And feet, and they couldn't walk. They were pathetic, absolutely useless. We can't expect blessings from useless idols, but we can expect blessing of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Because that is the one who is blessing. This is the one who has promised to bless his people, both small and great. This is the God who has promised that he will increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. We've seen God's willingness to bless, and here we have in verse 15 clearly expressed his ability to bless. The God who spoke and all these worlds came into existence, the vast universe with the countless stars, and the suns and the moons and the planets and the incredible complexity of life here on earth were all formed and created in six literal 24-hour days. That is the power of our God. And if we serve and worship and fear a God who has that magnitude of ability, we can be very sure and utterly confident that he has the power and the ability to bless us now in 2016 and on into 2017. We serve a great God, a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he will bless us, and he has the power to bless us. And he has the power to save those for whom we are praying. He has the power to restore those who are backsliding. He has the power to bring back prodigal sons and daughters. And he has the power to work in an incredibly short amount of time. For 10 years, as a church, we were blessed with stability of numbers. And in the space of a few months, God added 12 to our regular congregation. But he's able to do much more than this. Often if you look at the biographies of the great saints of God, those that the Lord has used mightily in the church, you can see that sometimes they labour for a number of years. William Carey saw just one convert from 7 years of labour in India. But over the next years, God blessed his work. And today there are millions of Christians in the land of India. God is able to work. Sometimes he only uses us mightily for a short amount of time. Many of the revivals recorded in the United Kingdom and in the United States of America took place over only 2 or 3 years at the very most. And yet in that time, God is able to save thousands upon thousands of people, and God is able to work change in a very short space of time. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And this great God invites us to trust him. Verses 9 and 10 and 11. We're exhorted, trust in the Lord. And we need to rest in his ability. We need to believe that our God is able. And that the God who has been mindful of us is also the God who will bless us. And the God who shall increase you more and more. You and your children.